This is Theremin 30. 30 minutes of Theremin music, news, events, and interviews with a new episode about every 30 days. Now, here's your host from Denver, Colorado, USA, Rick Reed.
Hey, welcome to the September 2023 episode of the Theremin 30 podcast. It's the Labor Day holiday here in the USA as I finish the show today. In America, we celebrate workers by taking the day off. Well, everyone but me. I'm working on 30 minutes of Theremin music from around the world, plus an interview with RCA Theremin expert Mike Buffington. We'll be talking about what he has been working on lately. Let's start the show now with an exclusive world premiere of the new single from Australian duo The Night Terrors, featuring Miles Brown on theremin and synthesizers and Sarah Lim on even more synthesizers. Their fourth album is called Hypnotica, Composition for Theremin and Electronic Music Synthesizer. The first single is set for release on Tuesday, September 5th. That's tomorrow, but we've got it a day early. This is Trance Encounters.
Thank you.
We started this episode with Trance Encounters, the first single from Hypnotica, the brand new album by the Night Terrors, set for release on November 3rd. After that, we heard from Zan Hughes performing Harmony with Planet X. Zan is based in Kokomo, Indiana, USA, and he has his own channel on Twitch where he live streams theremin performances and even plays along with old horror films. You can learn more about the Night Terrors and Zan Hughes by clicking on their names in this month's show notes. After the break, I've got the Theremin 30 calendar of events and an ophiological tune from Anaglyph. Yeah, look that up in the dictionary. And later in the show, I'll visit with Mike Buffington about his limited edition reproductions of vintage RCA Theremin documents. So stay tuned. The Theremin 30 podcast is supported by affiliate programs with Eargasm Earplugs, eBay, Reverb, and Zounds. When you follow these links and banners on our website, a portion of any purchases you make will help keep this show in the ether. So start shopping at theremin30.com. It's time now for a look at the Theremin 30 calendar of Theremin events. Marla Goodman's theremin-themed art show continues at Kirk's Grocery in Billings, Montana through September 23rd, with a concert performance set for September 22nd. You can see Marla's paintings of thereminists you probably know by following the link in this month's show notes. On September 9th, Shelley Ong hosts another Music and Chat live streaming show on YouTube. Her scheduled guests are Harvey Starr and Danny Dodge, who will be chatting about the Star Labs Zetar MIDI guitar controllers. Lydia Kavanagh will be performing sci-fi favorites on Saturday, September 30th for Science Fiction Day at the historic Papelwick Pumping Station in Nottingham, England. And SynthFest UK takes place October 7th in Sheffield, England. For details about these events and many more, check out the interactive calendar on theremin30.com. If you have a theremin-related event you'd like me to list on the calendar, send me a note with all the details. You can reach me with the contact form on the Theremin 30 website. Let's get back into the music now with the latest single from Anaglyph. She sings and plays theremin and synthesizers on this slithery song called Water Snake.
Give me one.
We started that music set with Water Snake by Anna Glyph. She has made a very clever stop-motion animation music video for that track. Check it out on the Theremin 30 YouTube playlist. After that, I played In the Heart of Winter, Part 2, from the Helsinki-based film and television composer Kepa Lehtinen. It's from the In the Heart of Winter EP that came out in March of this year. You can hear all 7 tracks on Spotify and other streaming services. Coming up after this break, I'll visit with Mike Buffington about some cool new RCA Theremin stuff. So stay right where you are. Hey, this is Rick Reed, producer and host of the Theremin 30 podcast. Did you know that you can advertise with Theremin 30? You can place banner ads on the website or even get a commercial played right here in the middle of the show. It's a great way to promote products, services, and events to the Theremin community. And honestly, this show does not have a huge audience, at least not yet. But that means it doesn't cost much to get involved. You can find rates and details at theremin30.com. Mike Buffington is one of the curators of the RCA Theremin Registry. He is also one of the go-to guys for restoring RCA Theremins. His most recent restoration project is worth a lot more than the paper it's printed on. Hey, Mike, welcome to Theremin 30.
Hi, Rick. Thanks again for having me back on. It's great to be here again.
Your previous appearance on the show, you talked about restoring RCA Theremins, but now we have another project we're going to talk about, where you're restoring, how do we describe it, ephemera? Is that the right word for it?
Yeah, I think that's a great word for it because these things are so rare. These are documents that were printed around the time of the RCA Theremin. We have an owner's manual, we have a service notes, and we have 2 brochures. One just says the RCA Theremin, and the other one says the Victor Theremin. The goal was to get these things professionally printed and to make them look as authentic and original as possible.
As if they were new, so they don't look old.
Right. We do have a little tagline that says, you know, reproduced by Mike Buffington and whatnot. When I say we, I have been working with my friend Wally DeBacker. He's probably better known under his musical moniker as Gautier. He has an interest in most things vintage, and theremins fall into that category. I've been working with him on some other stuff. He has an interest in a musical instrument called the andouline.
Yeah, I caught his concert at Moogfest a few years ago. That was amazing.
Yeah, so he's really delved deep into andoulines, almost exclusively at this point. He's still working on new music, and he has interest in other instruments, but he went kind of crazy on the andoulines and found all these great documents that were all in French. And so this is sort of the backstory of how I came to do this Victor Theremin stuff, is that Wally had this 40-page printed sort of manual book that was a collection of radio journal articles that the inventor, George Denny, put out sort of as a monthly thing. And so they combined all of these articles into one printed document. It was only available in French, and Wally had that document professionally translated, and then I was given an English copy. And he's like, let's make an English version of this document. So I laid it all out. I did all the work, basically. And he was sort of the project manager of this. So I'd be showing it to him. He's like, it's not quite right. We're 80% there. Let's push it that extra 20%. Because he's a no half measures kind of guy. And I'm a no half measures kind of guy. But he's even more so picky and detail oriented. So it's been really a good working kind of relationship where we're kind of challenging each other to do the best we possibly can. So this was maybe about 6 or 7 years ago that I started this. I became friends with Floyd Engels. The OG Theremin community will remember this guy as the guy who restored a lot of theremins and made missing parts like replica antenna. I became friends with Floyd as I was building my own replica theremin and starting to fix up theremins. And Floyd and I would talk, and I'd visit him a couple times. And one time that I visited him, the first time, he sort of gave me the nickel tour, and we went through basically everything theremin related in his house over the span of like two or three days. And he pulled out an original RCA Theremin instruction manual and the original RCA Theremin service notes. I'd never seen either one before. The service notes can be found in a compiled book that maybe radio enthusiasts will know as an RCA Red Book, is what it's sort of colloquially called. So I've seen that document, and the PDFs of all of these things exist, but they're, you know, third generation photocopies, and they're really hard to see and read, and there's errors and stuff. But these two documents came from the same owner. His name was Ray Burrows. He had RCA cabinet number 439. Floyd pulled out the service notes and instruction manual from this and kept it. So every time I talk to him, he's like, oh, I'm done with the Theremin stuff. It's like, I would really love to, like, buy the original service notes instruction manual from you. And it's like, I'll just send you everything. So a couple months later, I got this box, two boxes in the mail of 1930s radio magazines and all of his notebooks, Clara's stuff and Henry Solomonoff stuff, Bob Moog stuff, just, you know, a literal footlocker worth of all these documents. And of course, in there was the service notes and the instruction manual. So that was really nice to kind of be able to hold this thing and say, oh, this is mine now. And among this that I didn't notice before was the RCA Theremin brochure. And this is just a little trifold brochure that's black and white. And it says, absolutely new, unique musical instrument that anyone can play.
It's not a radio, not a phonograph.
Exactly. It's the thing that, like, hypes up the Theremin as being this instrument that if you can whistle, you can, you know, you can play it. And it's beautiful. It's got this very Art Deco feel with wavy lines and gradations. And, you know, this copy is in fairly good shape, but it's kind of been bent in half and there's creases through it. And so I've got three of sort of the four or five known documents. And I'm, you know, saying to Wally, it's like, this would be really cool if we made some reproductions of this. He's like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So we decided to go ahead because it was sort of my project. I sort of volunteered my time to work on the documents, getting them press ready, and then he would pay for printing them. So I scanned each page at like 2400 DPI, super high resolution. I had, you know, three or four other photocopies from other collections. And if there was some weird, like, ink spot that kind of, you know, I'd compare all three documents. If all three had them, I would keep it in. But if only one had it, it was kind of a printing error unique to that specific document. To the best of my ability, I kept in what would have been sort of on the printing plate itself so that it would look as authentic as possible. Even though I got a copy of the service notes from Floyd, it was probably used in a smoke-filled house. And it's all crinkly, and somebody used just regular clear tape to tape it up because it was basically falling apart.
So you had a big piece of yellow tape fixing, you know, a tear in the book. And
yeah, there's a rip in the instruction manual that goes like right halfway through the page. And so if you scan that, the tape kind of shows up darker and you can't get that nice crisp clean lines of all the letters. So what I did was I took, you know, if I was respelling the word the, I'd take a T from one place, or if there was an H-E together, and I'd move it in Photoshop and just sort of rebuilt the whole paragraph worth of damaged stuff. We made 500 of these offset printed reproductions, and that's kind of a nice number because there were only 500 RCA Theremins. When we got them all printed and they were ready to go, I emailed all the people that we've worked with, the people whose Theremins we've restored, and people who are interested in this kind of stuff, or owners of nice RCA Theremins. So I know we sold a few and they're going into good hands, into sort of the right hands, but we definitely have plenty to sell.
Well, it sounds like it's a perfect companion to an RCA Theremin that's in a museum or in a private collection.
Right, absolutely. I have a set sitting on one of my RCAs.
You're the only person I know who can say one of my RCAs.
It's not an obsession. It's not a... I'll tell you, know, it's not a problem. I'm okay.
How would you answer the question on, like, why do these need to be reproduced in the first place?
You're not going to find a better looking replica instruction manual. Anything you're going to find out there is going to be laser printed and bound with staples and won't have that beautiful brown cover, won't be offset printed, won't have that red ink on the cover. And so it's like, Why settle for something less than that?
And how does somebody order a set of these documents?
You can go to forgottenfuturesmusic.org. to check out Wally's project, but at the top, there's a link to the store. There's also a link at the top of that store page for the RCA Theremin documents. You can click that, and you can choose between a bundle of all four or each object you can buy separately. You can find them on Reverb and on eBay, and I believe on Instagram as well. So if you go to Forgotten Future's Instagram page, I think they have a store there.
You are a great resource to the Theremin community because the work you do keeps history alive, the magic of the original Theremin alive.
I love the Theremin community. I love everybody out there. I know so many of you out there, and I'm hoping that we're doing something well and doing something good for the community.
You may never get a chance to own an RCA Theremin, but you do have an opportunity to own one or all four of these cool RCA Theremin document reproductions. For details, follow the link in this month's show notes at theremin30.com. We have just a little bit of time left, so to wrap up the show, I'm going to play another brief selection from the documentary score by Paolo Pasquale that I featured in the August 2023 episode. From the Negro Purpura soundtrack, this is Texturas de Pan e Peñera. I think I said that kind of right. And according to Google Translate, that is textures of bread in a sieve. A big thanks goes to the Night Terrors, Zan Hughes, Anna Glyph, Kepa Lehtinen, and Paolo Pasquale for sharing their wonderful music this month. Please support them by purchasing their albums, attending their shows, or just sending them a nice note to let them know you appreciate their talents. I also want to thank my special guest Mike Buffington for visiting with me and for all he does to preserve the legacy and history of the RCA Theremin. Also, I'm very grateful to the listeners who support this show with monthly or one-time donations. And finally, if you enjoy Theremin 30, please tell your friends about it. There's always room here for more listeners and more recording artists. Until next time, I'm your host, Rick Reed. I'll see you again somewhere in the ether.
You've been listening to the Theremin 30 podcast. Visit Theremin 30 on the web at theremin30.com.